Hi, everyone. I'm Angela Tang. I'm the CRE Project Director at the Illinois Department of Public Health, and I'm going to talk to you about auto alerts today. And just so you know, I have quite a few screenshots, so if you're at the back, you may not be able to see all of them, and I encourage you to move forward. So just by way of quick review, CRE are bacteria that have become resistant to all or nearly all antibiotics. And for this reason, CDC has labeled them an urgent threat to public health that requires action now. So CDC has outlined a coordinated approach to prevent further spread of antibiotic-resistant organisms. And in this strategy, public health departments track and alert facilities to the antibiotic-resistant bugs. And facilities share information with one another and take appropriate infection control action steps to stop the spread of these bugs, such as CRE. So in Illinois, we are using the XDRO registry as an integral part of our coordinated approach to alerting facilities about the control and spread of CRE, to control the spread of CRE. The XDR registry is a web-based infection control tool created by IDPH and the Chicago CDC Prevention Epicenter. So all 200 acute and long-term acute care hospitals, 800 skilled nursing facilities and laboratories in Illinois are required to report CRE to this XDR registry. And then facilities can query this registry to see if a patient admitted to their hospital has a history of CRE and then put the patient in contact precautions when needed. So in this way, the XDR registry is a communication system intended for actionable data. Here are some statistics through the first 2.5 years of reporting. This just gives some context to the database that is searched when looking for patients in the registry. So you'll see that we've had over 2,500 unique patients reported to our registry, and in recent months we've had about 60 to 80 CRE patients reported per month. And we've had almost 6,000 queries submitted, or about 200 per month. And I just want to note, reporting and querying are both manual processes at this time. So searching in the registry may be reasonable for some nursing homes with just a few admissions per day. But for most facilities, it's too time-consuming and labor-intensive to do. So what we've done is we've developed a system of auto alerts for rapid notification of patient CRE history to support timely infection control action. And this diagram gives an overview of how the auto alert process works. Hospital A will generate a list of patients admitted to their hospital. A hashing software will encrypt the data, meaning they'll take identifiers and just convert it to a series of numbers. Then the information in the XDR registry undergoes the same hashing process. The hospital's list is checked against the registry's list for a potential match. And if there is a match, then the registry will send an email alert to registered users, who are usually the infection preventionist at the hospital, notifying them of the match so that the IP can log into the registry to find more information. So the hospitals can send these admission feeds every 30 minutes to an hour, so the alerts are near real time, and then patients can be put into isolation pretty quickly. So this is the overview diagram, and now I'll go through what the infection preventionists will actually see. So this is the email that is sent by our auto alert process, and it says the XDR registry has identified that a patient recently admitted to the hospital may carry a bacterium that is highly resistant to antibiotics. Please log into the registry for details. And so all the IPs at the facility who sign up for alerts will get this email. And you'll notice that there's no protected health information here. It really just serves as a cue to the IP to log into the registry to view the alert details. So the IP logs in through a secure web portal and arrives at this landing page in the registry. And you'll see in the lower right-hand corner, the facility alert history button is in red, and it shows up as a visual cue to say, hey, there's an active alert, click here. And this is the hospital's alert history page, and you'll see all the alerts that the hospital has received. And the active alert is in red at the top. The column on the left-hand side has an acknowledge button, so sometimes facilities will have a team of IPs, and so all of them will get this email. And the person who has seen the alert can hit the acknowledge button. There'll be a timestamp and their initials so they know who looked at the alert within their facility. And then that alert will change to black, as you can see in the two rows below the red one. Towards the right, there is a matching column. So we look for full matches based on patient first name, last name, and date of birth, or a partial match, which is the first initial, last name, and date of birth. And then under patient name, if you click on the box, you can go to the actual XDR record. And this is what the record looks like. At the top, there's patient demographic information. In the middle, there's the actual CRE culture information. And then at the bottom, it says who submitted that report and what facility they're from. So we encourage the use of this information, such as patient address or calling the IP who submitted this report, to confirm that the alert is a correct match to the patient who was actually submitted to the facility. And then within the registry, we have a tracking tool that provides a way for the IPs and for our health department to keep track of automated alerts and their outcomes. For example, it asks, did the alert correctly identify the patient, and if the patient was already on contact precautions? And I won't read all the questions because I'm going to go through some of the outcomes that we've seen so far. So 10 hospitals in the Chicago metro area were connected to auto alerts as part of a pilot. The first hospitals, A and B, are in the same system, and they were connected back in January 2015, and others were connected throughout the year. There are two hospitals that are sending their admissions feeds through an infection control software vendor interface, meaning that the vendor set up the admission feed to the registry for them, and eight were connected through a homegrown interface. You'll see that the hospitals differ in size from small to large. They differ in type and patient population, which affects how many and how often they get the alerts. For example, Hospital H is a small hospital, and in 5 months being connected, they have received zero alerts, versus Hospital C, which is a large academic medical center. They have they receive maybe 1 to 2 alerts per week. So for the most part, the alert volume at each hospital has been manageable, and it doesn't look like we're filling the IP's inboxes with these alerts. Now, overall, among the 10 hospitals from January 2015 to May 2016, 110 admitted patients triggered 235 alerts. 99% of alerts were for the correct patient, and there were 3 incorrect partial matches triggered by one patient who visited the same hospital multiple times, and that particular match has been blocked, so it won't show up for that hospital again. So this was important for us to show that our matching methodology worked. Now, as far as alert outcomes, just looking at the 232 correct alerts, 221 were full and 11 were partial matches. Then we asked, prior to receiving the alert, did you know that the patient was CRE colonized? 73% of the time, the hospital did know that the patient had CRE, and 27% of the time, they did not. And then we ask, at the time you viewed the alert, was the patient already on contact precautions? And of the 170 patients with known CRE, 76% were in precautions at the time of the alert. However, you'll see that 24% were not. And this may be because admitting personnel were unaware of the patient's CRE history, or there was a lack of internal communication. Among the 62 patients with unknown CRE, 37% were in contact precautions, and this may have been due to other reasons, such as known colonization with another bug, and 63% of them were not in contact precautions. And so I highlighted two boxes in gold because this was a key outcome for our auto alerts, and that is that 80 patients, or 34% of the total, were not in contact precautions, but because of auto alerts, the IPs were notified and able to quickly correct that. And I think that initially the hope was that auto alerts would be valuable for the right-hand gold box. In other words, patients with unknown CRE who are not in precautions. But I was kind of surprised to see how it also impacted the left-hand gold box. In other words, patients with known CRE who should have been in contact precautions but actually were not. We also asked, how did a facility know that those 170 patients had CRE? And for 144 alerts, or 85%, they said it was due to a previous positive at their own facility. And for 19 alerts, or only 11%, did respondents say that there was interfacility communication of CRE, so pretty low numbers there. Some added benefits that we've seen. In 1.5 years, there were 5,700 manual searches of the registry, and we were really glad to see that IPs were using this feature. But then in April 2016 alone, the auto alert process conducted over 28,000 patient searches for the 10 hospitals. So you can see that auto alerts is a powerful tool, and it's less time consuming and much more efficient for IPs. And then at the bottom, one hospital, they've used auto alert data for quality improvement. You'll see that they have received 44 auto alerts for the correct person, but only 20 of those patients were in precautions at the time of the alert, even though they knew that 43% of them had CRE at the time. So they're using this data to trend how long it takes to get a patient into contact precautions. They're discussing the results with their infection control committee, and they're going to start flagging their patient electronic medical records to improve the numbers in the last column. And just one last story from an IP who's receiving the auto alerts. She says that the alerts save them time and resources. She said that in the past, sometimes they wouldn't find out until the third or fourth day after admission that a patient had CRE, so the patient wouldn't be in isolation until then. Then per their facility protocol, they would have to conduct point prevalence surveys to determine whether any CRE transmission had occurred. And this was very time consuming, a huge hassle because no one wanted to get a rectal swab, and resource intensive because of the testing needed to be done, and especially if they needed to put other people in isolation. And now with auto alerts that are near real time, patients with CRE can be put into precautions within hours instead of days. And the IP said that it's been a long time since she has had to do a CRE point prevalence survey. So we think that auto alerts from the registry has shown that patient-specific CRE information can be successfully shared between healthcare facilities in an automated fashion. And now that we've completed the pilot phase, we are working to expand auto alerts to additional hospitals across the state. So I just want to acknowledge everyone who's contributed to the system. And I guess we have a couple minutes for questions.
guys are doing great work with this. One thing I'm kind of curious about is what, in terms of skilled nursing facilities or other settings like that, where you're going with that direction. And the other thing is this other MDRs besides CRE, are you looking to incorporate these as well?
So right now for skilled nursing facilities, we're just using the manual query system. We're looking to connect hospitals first for automatic feeds and notification. And we haven't looked at skilled nursing facilities for this capacity yet. As far as other organisms, we call it the XCR registry, not the CRE registry, because we're looking to expand possibly to other organisms in the future.
Thank you. It's very, very exciting. I was wondering if you could describe the process a little bit of how much time or effort, how difficult it was for hospitals to hook up their admission systems to the registry?
It is quite a lengthy process. If you didn't catch it, our first hospitals were connected back in January 2015, and then there was maybe a seven-month delay to the next hospitals, and it took about 7 months just to get this onto that hospital's information systems plan for them to work with us to set up their admissions feeds. So actually connecting the feeds is not a very long process, but working with the hospital's information systems team can sometimes have a delay.
Thank you very much.